Well, good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, and welcome, guests. This afternoon, I want to discuss a great man and his two great imperatives. An imperative is defined as absolutely necessary, required, unavoidable, somewhat like a command. That's what an imperative is. Well, this great man is King Solomon. King Solomon is arguably the wisest man in the Bible, apart from Jesus Christ. He did it all. He conquered it all. His kingdom at the time was at the peak of Israel's strength. He built great cities. World leaders came from all over to get his wisdom. God blessed him dramatically. He even built God's temple. This is a man that had no boundaries. And yet we find at the end of his life two imperatives that he wants to give to his son, wants to pass that on. Out of all the things that he'd done, he didn't talk about his IRA and how to build wealth. He didn't talk about how to build a city or how to govern people. He actually gave his son two imperatives, and I'd like to focus on those two imperatives this afternoon. So let's do a word study into Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, and find these two imperatives of Solomon and the corresponding prophecy that supports them. So let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12, if you would, please. Ecclesiastes 12, we're going to start in verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end. By the way, Solomon has three books found in the canonized Bible, so he knew something about writing books. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And here are the two imperatives. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So here we find the two imperatives. Let's talk about fearing God. This word fear is yaray, Y-A-W-R-A-Y in English, to revere, make afraid, frighten, dread, reverence. Well, in today's modern world, secular people certainly don't fear God. They don't believe in God. And the Christian world doesn't seem to have much time for fearing God. But in this case, Solomon is actually telling us, reminding us, that we should actually fear God. So let's turn to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32 and verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in the hearts so that they will not depart from me. Well, when you hear about fearing God, you don't think of necessarily trembling to the point of not wanting to like God or love God, but you're actually, God's going to put his fear in us, or does put his fear in us, so that we will not depart from him. I think that's pretty awesome. In other words, it's kind of like King David saying, don't remove your spirit from me, O Lord. The worst thing that could happen to any of us is that we would be separated from God. That's a fear. That's a healthy fear for us. So remember that this fear that Solomon is talking about is not a fear of where I'm really scared of someone. It's a fear of reverence. It's a fear of being separated from. Come on in. Being separated from God. So that's the first imperative. The second one is to keep. So let's go back to Ecclesiastes, and we'll talk about the word keep. That is shamarto. To hedge about is with thorns, to guard, protect, beware, be circumspect, take heed to self, regard, reserve, save. This is the word keep. So we've heard about fear and the reverence that we should have for God. Now we're going to talk about keeping. So keeping God's commandments. This is something that you actually put a hedge of thorns around. You protect it. You guard it. It's kind of like where Jesus Christ is talking about Jerusalem. Remember, I wanted to be like a hen and protect the small ones. That's the type of keeping that we should have for God's commandments. So let's read this again. Fear God and keep, protect his commandments. For this is the whole duty of God. Whoa. Whole duty of man, sorry. That's amazing. That word whole here is actually kol. It means all, every, altogether. That's the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. That word judgment is mishpat, which means verdict. That can be an unfavorable or favorable verdict, including every secret thing, alam. Secret means, is the Hebrew there is alam, to veil from sight, to conceal or hide. It doesn't necessarily mean that alam is neither good nor bad. It just means it's something done in secret. So in Matthew 5 or 6, where Jesus Christ is telling us to do those things that are good in secret, so no one knows what's going on, that could be a good thing that's done in secret. Of course, sin that we want to hide, sometimes we can come to church and we have our church smile on, but really what's covered, is that a veil over our face? Are we really coming here honestly before God? What's the secret? For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. And this is actually prophetic in a sense. Let's turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing with God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged. Remember that word, judged? According to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. The death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged again, each one according to his works. So we talk about a judgment. So here it is prophetic that our works, what we do, are actually going to be judged by God, whether they're good or whether they're evil. And thankfully, we have a very merciful God that leads us into keeping his commandments and taking on his way of life so that we can enter into that life that he wants to give us. So it makes perfect sense then. If you're Solomon, you've built all of these cities. You've achieved all of these great things. But none of those things mean anything compared to these two great imperatives that you want to pass on to your son or your daughter or to all of us. These two great imperatives of fearing God, reverencing him, being in honor of him, and keeping, hedging about as with thorns, guarding, protecting something valuable, guarding his commandments. Let's take a look at one other scripture here. When we say the word commandments, I want to show you how important that is. Please turn over to Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Solomon is giving us these two imperatives for his son's life and for our life. These two great imperatives of fearing God and keeping his commandments.